The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
To that new autism assessment protocol that's been announced by government, which will provide for the first time a standardised autism assessment for children and adults right across the HSE. It is to be rolled out in the coming weeks, and we'll see a tiered approach to autism assessment, which it says is in alliance with evidence-based research. Well, with more details on this and what the new protocol means for accessing services and supports and for those waiting lists is Eimear Higgins, Minister of State with Special Responsibility for Disability and Fine Gael TD for Dublin Mid West. You're very welcome to the programme. So what is this new protocol? Why did it need to be introduced and how is it different, I suppose, to what's being done currently, Minister?
Yeah, absolutely, Ciara. So I suppose just to set the scene, 40% of children who are diagnosed with a disability are diagnosed as autistic. So in response to that, the HSE has developed a specific autism assessment and intervention pathways protocol. And what that means is it's a single national standard of autism assessment. And it's that same standard that you'll now have access to right across primary care, across CAMHS, for example, the mental health services, across our disability services and our CDNT teams. And really what this is all about are people. People are absolutely at the heart of this, whether that's children and their families or indeed adults who are presenting with signs of autism. And as Minister for Disability, I've been in the role 6 months now, and everywhere I go, I get the very same feedback from parents. The current system isn't working. Mm. People are telling me it's really difficult to navigate. And you have to appreciate that these are people who are already under pressure. They're feeling that the system is challenging them and it's complex and that they're nearly fighting the system instead of being supported by the system.
So this is a single national standard, you say, for both adults and children. Was there an inconsistency in the approach to diagnosis of autism up to this point?
Yes, to be frank about it, there was. And we've been working on this, well, the HSE has been working on this new protocol for almost 5 years. They've been working closely with clinicians, with my own departments, with advocates, and most importantly, with autistic people themselves. And really what this protocol is all about is connecting systems so they start talking to each other more efficiently. It's about consistency in clinical approach, because you're right, there hasn't been a standardised clinical approach. We haven't been able to determine that. So this will provide that. Most importantly, it's going to make it easier for people to navigate. They're going to be in a system. Like, we're replacing uncertainty with a very clear clinical process now. It's going to be backed up by the single point of access, which is the new HSE model of No Wrong Door, which will be launching in the coming months. And it'll be supported through the delivery of 20 in-reach teams. It will take time. We're recruiting 11 teams this year and 9 teams next year. But ultimately, this will deliver meaningful neuroaffirmative support for people who need it. As you mentioned there, go on.
Sorry to cut across you, but just under this new protocol, to be clear, are there practitioners, do you think, in this area operating at the moment who will no longer have the relevant qualifications or the relevant clinical standing to make that decision going forward?
I don't expect that, no. I mean, what we are expecting is that clinicians, both public and private, will now use this protocol going forward. And this is, as you said in your opening, it's a tiered approach. And really, we've 3 tiers, and that's about recognising that we need to match people's needs and assessments to the supports and the needs that they want. We need to make sure that we're meeting people where they are. This is about empowering clinicians instead of limiting them. And it's about supporting families and children instead of overwhelming them.
How does it relate to the assessment of needs then, Minister?
Well, I suppose it doesn't really, to be honest. The assessment of needs is a totally different process. It's a statutory right that children are entitled to an assessment of need. This won't change that. There will be some legislative reforms in the assessment of needs space, but that won't change that whatsoever. What this is this is a specific autism response to the fact that 40% of children who are diagnosed now are diagnosed as autistic. So it makes sense. It's based on clinical expertise. It's based on lived experience. It's based on international experience. It makes sense. We're backing that up now with training. We already have implementation workshops being rolled out to ensure that we're training people to be able to use it appropriately. And as I said, we'll also be recruiting those in-reach teams to specifically support it. I suppose it will cross over in terms of AON, because you may have some people already on the AON list who will now move to this, but they'll still be on the AON list as well.
Will it mean anything for those waiting list times?
What it will mean for children who are presenting as potentially autistic is a new pathway and a quicker pathway to a diagnosis and to support.
So what will that mean then for those waiting lists for people who are looking for the assessment of needs?
For the assessment of needs, so they'll continue to be carried out by our CDNT teams, and they'll also we're also outsourcing 6,000 assessment of needs this year. So that they're two very, very distinct systems. The assessment of needs system for everyone is absolutely what we're working to reduce. And for example, and it's important for your listeners to be aware of that, you don't need an assessment of needs to be able to access therapies or intervention at your children disability network teams. And we've reduced the waiting lists in those centres by 28% last year. And we'll reduce those wait times for therapies and supports by 25% again this year. This is today's launch that myself, Minister Norma Foley, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill, and the new Chief Executive of the HSC were at, was the specific autism launch. And it's all about making the pathways clearer. It's about supporting more families. It's about, as I said, equipping clinicians with a standardised approach. And ultimately, it's about providing a more responsive and respectful as well. And support to people.
So obviously, if you are moving people, or people move off that assessment of needs list onto this other pathway,
So you won't move off it. You'll be entitled to your assessment of need. That's a statutory right, and we're not removing that right at all. No, absolutely not. So some people will absolutely end up going through the autism protocol and getting their assessment that way, and they may choose to come off the AON list. That's absolutely, we would certainly hope that will happen, but we have no intention of changing anybody's statutory right.
Okay, in terms of the in-reach teams that you talk about there, you say there's going to be 20 in total, 11 this year. Are these brand new recruits, Minister, or are they, you know, basically moving from other areas within the HSE?
So they're brand new teams, and there's 20 HSE regions across the country, and we'll have 20 of them up and running is the intention by the end of next year. So we'll have 11 this year and 9 next year. They're brand new teams. Some of them will be people who may go for a promotion, for example, within the HSE. Mm. Others will be recruited externally. But ultimately, they'll be teams of 4 people. So you'll have 3 therapists, speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, and psychologists. And a psychotherapist, and you'll also have a support caseworker there as well, who'll be liaising with families too. So there are going to be new roles they'll be supplementing it. And I suppose it's also worth just mentioning as well for your listeners that we're going to be launching the single point of access. Minister for Health and the HSE will be launching single point of access, which will mean there'll be no wrong door for anybody, whether you're in primary care, in CAMHS or in CDNT teams. So this is about just improving the services that exist, making them more user-friendly and getting support to people, to families and to children quicker.
I mean, the Irish Independent reporting this morning that this could save the state millions. Where are the potential savings here?
There aren't really necessarily savings in terms of finances like that. I mean, what this is about is making sure that the saving is from a parent's perspective, from a child's perspective, from a clinician's perspective. We're making sure that we're actually investing in capacity. So, for example, those new in-reach teams I mentioned, the training, the new protocol, they're all investments that, of course, will make things efficient. But you can't put a figure on this. I don't know where that came from in that particular article. But what I will say is, to a child, to a family, to a person's life, this is the kind of progress that we need. And that is what is driving us. And I mean, that's what's driving this change.
You say it is progress. And I know there has been some policy efforts here. There has been some staffing increases. But most families listening who are waiting for that assessment and needs are waiting for service will still say we experience long delays way beyond the Absolutely. 6 months, up to 2 to 3 years. And then trying to get access to supports is near on impossible. And it doesn't address that really.
So I suppose two things to say on that, and that's that an assessment of need isn't necessary in order to be able to access therapies that our CDNT teams do offer that. As I said, we're investing in our CDNT teams, recruiting. And to be frank about it, recruitment and retention is an issue. We're now working directly with graduates, for example, and offering places in our CDNT teams to this year's graduates, for example, because we really want to bolster our teams around the country. We want to ensure that that we're supporting them, because the support that they provide families is so invaluable, and we need more people to be able to access that. We're investing as well in relation to college places, for example, to increase the pipeline of talent that may go for those roles. And so that is happening. On top of that, we're also paying for outsourcing, if you like, of up to 6,000 assessments of needs this year. So it's a multifaceted approach. It's about investing in what's there. It's about creating, generating, and bringing in more people, as well as utilising resources outside of the public sector.
All right, we will leave it there, Minister Emer Higgins. It's certainly an issue that we will continue to cover here on The Hard Shoulder and see, does it deliver on all of those promises made by the Minister in that interview. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.